المهدي على الغلماني أعيذه بالبيت ذي الأركان حتى أراه بالغ البنيان أنت الذي سميت في القرآن.
Hello, I'm Jan van der Made and welcome to this edition of Spotlight Asia. What you hear there is Sufi music from Chechnya, and that's where we go today. In late August, this small Russian Federation state hosted a conference that is starting to make more and more waves worldwide and may have grave implications for Saudi Arabia as champion of the Wahhabi brand of Islam. During that meeting in Chechnya, some 200 Islam scholars came together to discuss about the definition of Sunni Islam. Ghulam Rasul Delvi, an Islamic scholar himself who wrote about the meeting, tells us what happened.
The Chechnya Conference, which is commonly known as the Islamic Sunni Conference in Grozny, was basically aimed at defining what Sunniism stands for, what Sunnis are actually. So the globally renowned Sunni Islamic scholars unanimously took a stand that the Takfiri terrorists, the Salafists, or the Wahhabis, who loudly claim to be Sunnis, are not from among the Sunnah, from among the Ahlus Sunnah. The Ahlus Sunnah is an Islamic terminology for the mainstream Sunni Muslims in the world. So the mainstream Islamic scholars, who were 200 over there, they spoke in one unison that Salafis do not come from Sunnis.
Saudi Arabia rejected the conclusions of the meeting. Critics of the kingdom also said that they feared Saudi Arabia is becoming more and more isolated. Wahhabism goes back to the 18th century and was founded by Muhammad ibn Abd al-Wahhab, who proclaimed a pure form of Islam. He linked up with the House of Saud that protected him with a sword, and that proved an unbeatable alliance that still holds today. In the second half of the 20th century, Wahhabism started to lose some of its grip on Saudi Arabia, but Professor Günter Meyer, the director of the Middle East Study Center at the University of Mainz, explains why, after 1979, it became the core ideology of the House of Saud once more.
Saudi Arabia, its specific ideology of Wahhabism is very much isolated. The expansion of Wahhabism basically started after the revolution in Iran, where the Shiite model by Ayatollah Khomeini showed up to be very attractive within the whole Muslim world. A few months later, this was followed by the attack on the great mosque in Mecca, which was a very strong blow against the Saudi king, who is supposed to be the guardian of the holy places of Islam. So following these two shocks, Saudi Arabia started a massive campaign in order to promote the specific model of Wahhabi Islam all over the world. By now, more than $100 billion have been spent by Saudi Arabia to promote the Wahhabi or Salafi ideology of Islam from Indonesia, Philippines to Morocco, also to sub-Sahara Africa. So this massive expansion was mainly based on the concept that they brought in people from all Muslim countries and infiltrated them with the ideology of Wahhabism, then sent them home as preachers, and they are still paying for them. They provided mosques for them. In addition to this, tens of millions of foreign workers are or have been in Saudi Arabia. And during this period, they were also introduced to the Wahhabi direction of Islam. And when they returned home, they continued to change the face of Islam within their native countries.
The meeting in Grozny was organized by the Sufi scholar Ali Zain al-Abidin al-Jifri, who runs the Dubai-based Tabah Foundation. Invited were mainly Sufi scholars, locals from Chechnya, but also heavyweights like the Grand Mufti of Egypt, other Sunni scholars, but also Shia. Specifically not invited were Wahhabi scholars.
The reason why they have been excluded is that Salafis, they are not seen as a sect of Islam, rather an ideology. Salafism is not a sect. Salafism is an ideology which believes in violent extremism, xenophobia, intolerance, and totalitarianism, because they believe in theocratic interpretations of Islam.
So the conference was attended by Russian President Vladimir Putin, and critics say the meeting and the discussion which it is generating risks to be politicized and feeds into the already unbridgeable rift between Sunni Wahhabi Saudi Arabia and Shia Iran. Meyer says that Putin tries to use the intra-Islam controversy for his own means.
It is clearly directed against Saudi Arabia. That's very obvious. It's directed against the Wahhabi ideology, and it helps also to raise the global political standards of Putin, of Russia in general. So from this point of view, there was a clear interest of Putin to show that he is getting the support from the Sunni Muslim world against the spread of the Wahhabi ideology resulting basically from Saudi Arabia.
Iranian Nobel Peace Prize winner Shirin Ebadi says religion should not be used as a pretext to fight out worldly controversies, but she agrees with Meyer that things got more intense after the Islamic Revolution in Iran in 1979.
Before the Islamic Revolution, Iran used to be the major power of the region, politically and on the military point of view. And Saudi Arabia had this power on the religious level. And there was no contradiction, no competition between the two countries. After the revolution, because there was an Islamic revolution and an Islamic state was created, Iran started claiming the status of being a religious power in the region too. And these tensions became more and more serious between the two countries, but it's only about the political ambitions of the two states. Islam is nothing but an excuse, one on the Sunni side and one on the Shia side. And all the tensions and all the fights in the Middle East are anchored in this tension between Russia, that is supporting the Shia side, and the US, that are supporting the Sunni side. And millions of people are homeless, and civilians are dying because of this conflict. And this is all in the name of religion, whereas religion is nothing but an excuse for political ambition.
But one of the goals of the conference in Chechnya, says Delvey, is to try and lure the youth away from militant Wahhabism that can lead to excesses such as Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State.
Wahhabism is a big attraction and a lure for the young, naive, and gullible Muslims to be drawn to Islamist militancy. A very intolerant, extremist, and exclusivist interpretation of Islam is catching the imagination of the young, new generation of Muslims around the world. Educated Muslims are migrating to Syria to join the Islamic State or ISIS, not the common Muslim, not the ignorant Muslims. These young Muslims have been indoctrinated into a theology of xenophobia, intolerance, and fascism, religio-fascism, or Islamist supremacism. Therefore, Sufism is the panacea for this ill.
The question is Sufism assertive enough to be able to win the hearts and minds of the young unemployed youth and lure them away from more extremist ideas that may be harmful to society? And with that question, we end this edition of Spotlight Asia. Don't forget to tune in same time next week. And from me, Jan van der Made, goodbye. والبرهان حقا على الإسلام والإيمان.